today is to be found in part of the 15th chapter, 16th chapter, 17th and 18th in the second book of Samuel. We left off speaking to you last Sunday how that David had to flee from the city of Jerusalem, how that he got tidings that Absalom, his son, likewise was coming into the city of Jerusalem, and therefore he decided to leave this city for fear that the city would be put to the sword and that many of the people in the city of Jerusalem would be slain. And rather than see this take place in this city, he decided to leave the city. We find him leaving the city of Jerusalem and a lot of people going with him. They're all weeping and crying as he left this city for fear that they never would come back again, for they knew not what would take place. And as he left this city, many of his friends came to go with him. And we find in the 15th chapter a certain man by the name of Ittai, a Gittite, who was of the land of Gibeon. He likewise came with 600 men. Now, these 600 men, they had been with David in the city of Gath when he had been in the land of the Philistines. They had become attached to him. And now this man, Ittai, he led these 600 men with him to go with David. And now when he came to David, David spake unto him and said, Thou hast only come but yesterday. Return with thy men. For wherefore should thou go up with me? For I know not whither I shall go or whither I shall return. But this man, Ittai, he was so devoted to David, he loved him so, that he said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, in whatever place the king shall be, whether it be in life or in death, there also shall thy servant be. Oh, how this man loved David, how he was attached to him, how he was willing to go with him and even die with him. This man is a type of every soul that is born again. As you know, David, he was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if God has commenced the good work of grace in any of your souls, my hearers, then you likewise are attached to this precious King Jesus, of whom David was a type. And if the question was put to you, as it was put to Peter, lovest thou me, Peter, more than these? Then I am sure that from the bottom of your heart, you likewise would say with Ittai, in the place where the king is, whether it be in life or in death, there shall thy servant be. Have you ever had this in your hearts, my hearers? Have you ever felt any affection, any love to this King Jesus? Have you ever been given to leave and to forsake everything? Believe me, my hearers, if he sheds his love abroad in your heart, you're ready and willing to leave the world, to leave sin, to leave everything that you have loved before. Yes, even father, mother, sister, brother, wife, husband, they are all left. For you are so attached to this king, whether it be in life or in death, at that time you were willing to go with him. You know, my hearers, at this present time, we find many people siding on the side of Absalom. They departed from David, the anointed king that God had given unto them, and they went with Absalom. Many of them remained with David. Now let me put a question to you. Would you want to depart from this king who has come into your heart with his love, with his grace, with his favor? I'm sure this love is an exercise in your heart. And if you remember the time when this took place in your soul, then you would say, if I have to depart from him, it means eternal death. Oh, I would serve this king faithfully, uprightly, and honestly. But I am so troubled. I am so bowed down because I can't serve him the way I would like to, the way I find it in my heart. And sometimes I fear that he is not my king. Sometimes I find
that there's such an inclination to turn away and to go back into the world and into my former life, that I think sometimes I'm going to give way. I'm so weak and so helpless against sin, against the world, against this temptation that comes up in me. But oh, truly, when this love is in exercise, oh, then I would dedicate my life unto this King. I would not want to depart from him, for departing from him, I know, is eternal death, eternal banishment in hell below. And now we find that this group of people are going away from the city of Jerusalem. And as they are going away, my hearers, we find Zadok and Abiathar the priest, and they came along with the Ark of God with them. And David stopped them and said, of Jerusalem. And he said unto them, if it please the Lord, and he have favor towards me, then he will give me to see the ark again and his habitation. And if not, let him do with me as he will. Oh, David was in a very humble frame of soul here, my hearers. Oh, what a blessing to be in this case. David was bowing under God. David was given to see and to realize that God's hand was stretched out against him because of his sins. And now he's so humble. Oh, he said to these men, no matter what God would do to him, it would be just, it would be righteous. Let him do what it seemeth him good. Have you ever been there, my hearers? Have you ever had troubles in your life? Have they come upon you thick and fast? And have you been given that grace to submit unto the afflicting hand of God? Oh, what a blessing. Oh, my hearers, if you have grace in your soul, I'm sure you've had this at times. You know, sometimes we are brought down by our guilt and by our sins, and we must justify God. And we come wholeheartedly, uprightly, sincerely by the Spirit, and we lay at his feet and say, Lord, what you do with me now is just. Oh, if you show favor to me, it's grace. And if you say, I will not have anything to do with thee anymore, it's just. Oh, a soul in that place is so low. All the Lord can do is he sees fit with such a person. Have you ever been there? David was brought there, my hearers. And now we find David sending these two men with their two sons back to the city of Jerusalem. He said that they should take the ark back and that these two sons, they should remain with them. And now we find likewise that one of his friends, Hushai, a very wise man, a counselor who had been with David when he had been king in Jerusalem, he likewise came. And he wanted to go along with David, but David said no. He says, you will be only a burden to me if you go along with me. Now you go back and you will be able to defeat the council of Ahithophel for me. So this Hushai, he, in obedience to David, returned back to Jerusalem under that commandment of David that he should act as a spy there. And now we find likewise that David, he's traveling onward towards the wilderness. And then we find a man coming to him by the name of Ziba. He was servant of King Saul, and he likewise was now servant to Mephibosheth. And this Ziba, he came with two asses saddled, with 200 bunches of raisins, and a lot of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. He came just at the right time. It was very acceptable to David, for he was in need of these things that this man brought. And they were very good gifts. And David accepted them as gifts, but he says to him, where is thy master, Mephibosheth? Oh, he says, Mephibosheth said that this day God would restore unto his house
the kingdom of his father Saul, and therefore he remained at Jerusalem. Now this was not true. This was slander. This was like speaking lies to the king so that he, me, this Saba, would obtain the favor of the king. And now David, he said unto Ziba, when he told him what Mephibosheth had said, "Thine are Mephibosheth's and all what he has." David was carried away with the presence and with the flattery of Ziba. But Ziba, he was not right. He was a deceitful man. He spake this way to gain back the estate of Mephibosheth, for he didn't like to be a servant under Mephibosheth. David had placed him there, and now he got back the whole estate, but he got it unrighteously. How often this doesn't happen in life, my hearers, that people slander someone, speak evil of them, and maybe what they speak is true. They find fault even with what they have done. But oh, how necessary, my hearers, to keep our tongue at all times from speaking evil of our neighbor. It is contrary to God's word and to the life that God puts into a sinner's soul to speak against people in this way, as Ziba did. And now we find, after they had passed on a little while further, that there came another man. This man's name was Shimei. He was of Bahurim. He was a relative to Saul. And when David became king, all his prospects were taken away. He had such ideas that he was going to be this and he was going to gain that. But David became king and he received nothing. And now when David had to flee for his son, and then he took this opportunity to come along and curse David. All David had to flee from his own son. And now this Shimei, he began to curse David. "Come out, you bloody man, come out, you bloody man, for God has now taken you out of your kingdom and given it unto your son." He then spake in a way of cursing David. David, he bore the curses of Shimei better than he did the flatteries and the gifts of this man Ziba. For when Abishai wanted to go over and take his head off, "No," he says, "the Lord has said unto him, curse David." Oh, how low was David here. Oh, how he bowed under this, how patient he was with this man. For if he had listened to his friends, this man's head would have sure come off. But no, David, he knew that he deserved not only to be cursed by man, but to be cursed by God likewise. And where this man called him a bloody man, thinking that he had killed so many of Saul's house, which he had not, for he had not slain anybody of the house of Saul. That's why he called him a bloody man. If any man was free of the guilt and of the blood of the house of Saul, it was David. He had spared Saul's life so many times, and Saul had went after him to seek his life. But he bowed under this too, my hearers. He was a bloody man in the sight of God. He had let Uriah be killed by the sword of the Ammonites. He had shed this blood, and he was a bloody man. And he deserved the curses not only of Shimei, but of God himself. And how well did he bear with these curses, this man David? Oh, he felt he was guilty in the sight of God, and he seen that God was visiting him for his sins. My hearers, have you ever been cursed by anybody? How did you take it? Did you curse back again like so many people do? Or did you do like David did? Did you bow under it? Did you submit to it? All my hearers, in the days in which we live, there are so many people that curse. It's awful. There's hardly any individual that you meet that hasn't got a curse word in his mouth. Am I speaking the truth or not? I'm speaking from experience, my hearers. All the curses, the imprecations that we hear round about us. Why, you would like to put something in your ear sometimes so that you wouldn't hear it. And especially when they use that precious name, Jesus Christ. Oh, how many use that name in vain. And how many people curse each other. And how many curse back at them. They don't do like David did. David bore these curses, my hearers. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever had the curses of the law brought home to you in your soul? Cursed is he that keepeth not all these things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, when these curses come home, then we feel to be a cursed creature. Oh, then we must submit to what the accusations of the law bring home to our conscience. And what a blessing, my hearers, when God leads us by his blessed Spirit to the cross of Christ. And we may be given to see that he, this precious Jesus, bore our curse upon the cross. For cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree. Have you ever been given sight of him? Have you ever longed to see him in this way, hanging there for you, suffering and dying for you? How many souls do you love to see that Christ put away the curse that you righteously deserve and bore it in his body on a tree for you? Oh, I wish every soul here was longing after this precious Jesus. All my hearers, these curses that come home by the accusations of the law, they are so necessary. Shall we need Christ? Shall we see any beauty in him? Shall we need him who fulfilled the law? And now my hearers, David goes on a little further, and he stays in a certain place for this night. As Shimei, he goes along the side of the road, throwing stones at him and cursing him, but nobody was allowed to do anything to Shimei. David would not permit that he should be killed or that he should be harmed. And then we read that David comes into the wilderness here, and someone says unto him that Ahithophel is amongst the conspirators also that were on Absalom's side. And David prayed and said, O God, may thou turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And David knew that this man was a very wise man. He was a very good counselor. He had given David much good counsel. And this man, Ahithophel, he was a wise man. He was known amongst kings and amongst the great of the land for his wisdom and for his counsel, but he was without grace. He was well famed in the land of Israel, but he had no grace. Oh, how sad. There are many men in this world that are famed for wisdom, for counsel, and for the things that they do, but they have no grace. Father, to be a poor, ignorant creature and have grace in your soul than to be famed in this world and to be damned eternally afterwards. Now this man, he came up likewise now with Absalom into the city of Jerusalem. And when Absalom came with those that were with him into the city of Jerusalem, he immediately asked to give counsel. Now he was king, he should have gave counsel himself if he was such a wise man and he was going to rule the country, but no, he asks for counsel of Ahithophel. And what kind of counsel does Ahithophel give him? Ahithophel says unto him, go into your father's concubines, spread a tent up on the top of the roof, and go into them, and then all Israel will see that thou art abhorred of thy father, because thou hast went in unto thy father's concubines. This was the counsel of this wise man. You think this was wise counsel? You think this filthy counsel was good? Did Absalom do it? Did he listen to it? Did he abhor from doing it? No. No, he consented to do it. And they spread a tent up on the top of the palace. And he went in unto his father's concubines in the front of all Israel. What an awful thing to do. What a terrible thing to do. But it had been said by the mouth of Nathan unto David himself, that where he had committed this sin in secret, someone would come up out of his own house and do this before the sun and before all Israel. Oh, my hearers, you know God keeps his word. Whether it's for your benefit, whether it's for your salvation, or whether it's for your judgment and for your punishment, God fulfilled the word spoken by Nathan, the prophet, to David. For this man Absalom, he did this terrible deed. And then he again asks his counsel, and Ahithophel gives him counsel that if he, the king, would let him, Ahithophel, go, he would take 12,000 men, and he would go after David while he was weak and weary and weak-handed, and he would do nothing else but take the king. And he would slay the king, and he would bring all the people back to Absalom, and he would be king. Very good counsel. Very good for Absalom. Absalom and the elders of Israel agreed to this counsel. But my hearers, there is a counselor greater than any counselor here below. And he directs the minds and the hearts and the thoughts of all people. And we find that Absalom, instead of consenting to this counsel, he decided to ask Hushai, who likewise had come to Jerusalem and who had spoken unto Absalom that he would be like he was unto his father, unto Absalom. And that who the Lord was for, so Hushai was for. And this man, Hushai, he was sent for to give counsel at this time. And when he came, Absalom said to him, thus and thus hath Ahithophel counseled. What say ye? Well, this man, Hushai, he probably thought a few minutes, and God directed him and gave him wisdom to give Absalom entirely different counsel. For this was for the benefit of David. He counseled that he should not go yet after David. Where Ahithophel had spoken of David being weak and weary and weak-handed, Hushai gave an entirely different story about David. He says, you know your father is a man of war, experienced in warfare, and you know the men that are with him, that they are valiant men, they are strong, they are fierce, and they likewise are very angry that they have to leave the city of Jerusalem. And now if you follow after them, they're probably hiding somewhere in a pit, and as your men come along, these men will come out against them and slay them. I advise you, he says, that you call all Israel together to follow you. And then he says, you have an army. And then he says, we will go out after him. And he says, and we will take him. If he should flee to a city, he says, we'll surround the city and we'll put cords around it. And we'll draw him into the river, he says. And we'll slay all the men that are with him. And you yourself go before the army. You see, Hushai was given to counsel in this way. He pointed out that David was a mighty warrior, and he was. And he likewise pointed out that this counsel that Ahithophel gave was not good at this time. For he says that if they had went after David, then surely they would have been defeated. And now he wanted him himself to go. For Ahithophel had said that he would go with the 12,000 men and Absalom wouldn't have to go. And then Ahithophel would have received the honor. And now Hushai gave him this advice to go himself, and then he would receive the honor of the victory. And the men that were with David, he didn't like them at all. If he got them all out of the way, then he would have free reign to be king. And he accepted this advice of Hushai rather than the counsel of Ahithophel. Now, this was very good counsel, even the elders of Israel said. And now whether they accepted this or not, Hushai didn't know. It doesn't seem that he appeared to know. And he went back to Zadok and Abiathar for the priests and told them how he had counseled and how Ahithophel had counseled. And he said, send a young man to David and warn him that he shouldn't abide in the wilderness, but that he should go over the river Jordan this very night. For if they follow Ahithophel's counsel, then David surely would be taken. And now a wench, a young lad or a young girl, ran out to the well where these two young men, the sons of these priests, were, and told these two young men, and these two young men ran to tell David. But somebody of Absalom's army seen him run, and they went and told Absalom. Some lad seen this, and he told Absalom, and Absalom sent runners after these two young men to catch them. And now, as they were running, they came into a certain city, and they seen a well open, and they went down in this well, and the woman, she put something over the top of the well, and she put corn on the top of what she laid on the well. And when these men came to catch these two young men, they asked this woman where they had went, and she said, over that way, over the brook. She told a lie, but she steered them the opposite way. Well, they couldn't find them, of course, and they came back to the city of Jerusalem. And then these two young men went and told David what the counsel was. And David, he went over the river Jordan with the whole multitude of people that were with him. There was not one left. And now we find David coming into a place called Mahanaim. In this place, Jacob had a vision of angels. And in this place, David remained. In this city, he gathered his army together. And we find many friends coming to him here and bringing him all sorts of provisions which he was in need of. And now David gathered his army together to go to fight against Absalom, who also came out of the city of Jerusalem with his army. Josephus says that David only had 4,000 men, a very small army. But Absalom, he had multitudes of men. And now we find David separating his army and putting them under three heads. He set part of it under Joab, part of it under Abishai, and part of it under Ittai. And he spake unto these men and said that he likewise would go with them. He was going to go along and fight with them. But the people said, no, you are worth more than 10,000 of us. And all they want to do is kill you. And if they kill you, well, then they have got their objective. So the people refused to let David go to war with them. My hearers, in this there is likewise this lesson. These people thought David was worth more than 10,000 of them. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about King Jesus? Is he worth more than anything to you? These people, they thought everything of David. And I am sure that the grace of God has been put into your soul, And then this Jesus, he has become the one thing needful for your soul. And he is worth everything to you. Oh, if you only possessed him, you say, I would possess all. But I miss him. I fear I never shall find him. I'm so troubled at times. There was a time when I thought I was so close to him that I sure would find him. But now everything has gone away, it seems, and everything is dried up. And it doesn't seem as if I will ever find him. Oh, I fear that I'm going to die in this state and in this condition. But all deep down in your heart, isn't there that longing? Isn't there that feeling sometimes? Oh, if I only find him. Oh, then everything will be well for time and eternity. Cheer up, soul. If you have this at the bottom of your heart, regardless of your sins, regardless of your backslidings and of all your faults, if deep down in your soul you have that what these people had, that you think him worth more than everything here below at times, you most certainly will find him. There'll be a day coming when he will be your king, and you will acknowledge him as such, and you will love him. And oh, there is a day coming when he will take you home to be with you, where you will see his face forever and ever. Oh, a glorious abode, prepared for all those who have that in their hearts, as these people had towards their King David. And now David, he speaks unto these men that are at the head of these army and says, deal gently for my sake with my son Absalom. Oh, he was so concerned about his son. Oh, he loved his son. Although his son was a traitor and was a rebellious creature, still, this father, he had such affection and such love for his son. Oh, his son had no love for him. His son would have rather seen that his father was dead. He even said that unto Ahithophel. He had no affection whatsoever. Oh, how different was David than Absalom. There may be some of you people that have daughters and have sons. And oh, they're such rebellious creatures. Oh, maybe they went away from home even. They don't even live home. But oh, your heart goes out for your child. I know it does. If you have any heart for your children, you do long, and so did who's this? David, he longed for his son Absalom. Even though he had murdered his own brother, how he longed for him to come back home. And now he's speaking well again. Oh, deal gently, he says, with my son Absalom. Let me say to you, my hearers, we have here another lesson. Did David say this to these generals? Oh, Jesus, this precious king, I like to speak about him. You know, when he comes to the Father, he says to the Father, deal gently, Father, with this sinner. For I came into the world for this sinner. I love this sinner. I died for this sinner. Deal gently with him, Father, for my sake. Oh, what a blessing if we are that sinner, and for whom Jesus pleads at the right hand of his heavenly Father. Oh, my hearers, there isn't anything that's closer than a mother's love and a father's love for their children. We read so much of that in the Bible. And we can sincerely say that David, he wanted to go forth with the army himself to see that his son would not be killed, but they wouldn't let him go. Therefore, he spake in this way. My time is going, my hearers. It's 5 minutes after 3. I don't like to keep the classes downstairs waiting, but I do have a volume of stuff yet to speak about. The Lord willing, we will pick up the lesson at this point next week. That's all for today.